Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It's going to be a busy show today. We will be hearing from Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, holding a live press conference at the NFL owners meetings in San Francisco. This is unprecedented today. This is the breaking story of the day on this Tuesday, where he's going to respond to the NFL's report on Deflategate. He is scheduled to be joining that press conference momentarily in San Francisco, so we'll go live to that. Also, Cedric Ceballos is going to be with us at about 10:20 this morning. Good to catch up with CC on the NBA playoffs tonight, Game 1, Houston and Golden State. The NBA draft lottery is tonight. Jody Jackson will join us, Fox Sports Arizona's reporter. She is in Miami with the Diamondbacks. Nice win last night. And then we will have Michael Della Russa with us, talking United as we do every week, United SC, talking soccer. That'll be in about 11 o'clock. But the big story is up in San Francisco, where Bob Kraft now just arriving, and we'll have a press conference shortly and respond. This is expected to be contentious, although there's been reports behind the scenes that Commissioner Goodell and Bob Kraft have been meeting, and this will be another page in the journey of this the story as it has progressed here from last week. Let's go live now to San Francisco. The owner of the New England Patriots, Bob Kraft.
Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for adjusting and being here this morning. You know, it's been an emotionally charged couple of weeks, as all of you know, and I've been considering what my options are. And throughout this whole process, there have been two polarizing audiences. At one end of the spectrum, we've had Patriot fans throughout the country who have been so supportive and really inspirational to us and believing in us. But I'm also mindful at the other end of the spectrum, there are fans that feel just the opposite. And what I've learned is the ongoing rhetoric continues to galvanize both camps. And I don't see that changing, and they will never agree. But the one thing that we all can agree upon is the entire process has taken way too long. And I don't think anyone can believe that after 4 months of the AFC Championship game, we are still talking about ear pressure and the PSI in footballs. So I think I made it clear when the report came out that I didn't think it was fair. There was no hard evidence, and everything was circumstantial. And at the same time, when the discipline came out, I felt it was way over the top, as it was unreasonable and unprecedented, in my opinion. So I have two options. I can try to end it or extend it. And I have given a lot of thought to both options. The first thing that came to mind is 21 years ago, I had the privilege of going to a meeting similar to what we're at here in Orlando and being welcomed in an NFL owners meeting. So here's a fan and a former season ticket holder living a dream and being welcomed in that room. And I got goosebumps that day, and I vowed at that time that I would do everything I could do to make the New England Patriots an elite team and hopefully respected throughout the country, and at the same time, do whatever I could do to try to help the NFL become the most popular sport in America. You know, what I've learned over the last two decades is that the heart and soul of the strength of the NFL, that is a partnership of 32 teams. And what's become very clear over those two decades, that at no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective good of the full 32. So I have a way of looking at problems that are very strong in my mind. And before I make a final decision, I measure 9 times and I cut once. And I think maybe if I had made the decision last week, it would be different than it is today. But believing in the strength of the partnership and the 32 teams, we have concentrated the power of adjudication of problems in the office of the commissioner. And although I might disagree with what is decided, I do have respect for the commissioner and believe that he's doing what he perceives to be in the best interest of the full 32. So in that spirit, I don't want to continue the rhetoric that's gone on for the last 4 months. I'm going to accept reluctantly what he has given to us and not continue this dialogue and rhetoric. And we won't appeal. Now, I know that a lot of Patriot fans are going to be disappointed in that decision. But I hope they trust my judgment and know that I really feel at this point in time that taking this off the agenda, this is the best thing for the Patriots, our fans, and the NFL. And I hope you all can respect that.
Okay, that's Bob Kraft in a, I would say, stunning move. And I would say shocking move, and many of you are probably saying hallelujah, or if you're a New England Patriots fan, you're more pissed than ever that he's backing down. But just hearing that press conference live here and seeing the reaction that he had as he was talking about this, to me says, I had 31 other owners that got into the room and said, back off, because you're starting to mess with the league even more. When he said, I accept reluctantly, and we won't appeal, I don't want to continue the rhetoric, that it's been an emotionally charged couple of weeks, and he may have had a different decision or a different thought. Behind the scenes, 2 a.m., 2 p.m., dinners, breakfast, whatever it might be, phone calls that transpired and meetings that transpired. Today, Bob Kraft, I think, did something that many of you are probably very pleased with hearing, that he's not going to pursue it further. Now, we have not heard Tom Brady's side of any of this, but that is the latest from Bob Kraft. You just heard it live here. Let's get you caught up some of the other things in my mind in the world of sports. Cedric Ceballos in about 5 minutes on the playoffs in the NBA and much more. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, the long weekend is coming. What a great opportunity for you to get away anywhere around the state, around the country, taking in sports360az.com. Anywhere you're taking in our show, the Honda Resort and Casino, we've been telling you for over 3 years now, that is the place to head up to. In fact, in the Timbers Lounge, starting tonight, the Groove City Band, R&B Variety, they'll be playing for the next 5 nights. Shows are free. Starts at 8 o'clock. You've got to be 21. Pretty simple. This Friday night, the Rod Stewart tribute is going to take place at the Conference Center. Tickets just $10. Room $79, includes a couple of tickets. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Again, the Honda Resort and Casino, great food, great fun, great entertainment. Get away from it all. Just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, that is the Honda Resort and Casino. So the Bob Kraft story will just crush anything else that's going on today, but there's a lot of sports that's actually happening today. As I was driving in, I'm thinking, what are Eric and I going to talk about today? Because there's not much, at least there wasn't last night. But now that Bob Kraft has spoken, I'm going to go back on that at some point. The draft lottery is tonight for the NBA, and the playoffs advance to the Western Conference Finals tonight, tomorrow night, the Eastern Conference Finals. Draft lottery, if the Lakers or the Knicks win tonight, then I'm going to be sitting here tomorrow saying, conspiracy theory! Conspiracy theory if it's Lakers or Knicks tonight.
No way. The Suns are going to do it. They have like a 99.9% chance of staying in that lucky or unlucky 13 hole.
Yeah.
Right. Nah, they're going to be picking 13th again. Who are we picking? We're not kidding anyone here.
It's going to be 13 for the Suns.
Yep.
So, you know, in the NBA circles, the draft lottery, it's something somewhat interesting. This is not like a draft lottery where there are players that you look at and say, you have to have this guy and you have to have that guy. There is not a standout guy. Would I like Jahlil Okafor on this team? Sure. Would Cauley Stein be great on this? Sure, they would.
But there's no Tim Duncan. There's no Shaq. There's no, like, no surefire number one pick that's going to be an automatic superstar.
There's no LeBron James.
No LeBron James.
That's what we're saying about this year's draft. That doesn't mean you can't find some talent, but in all likelihood, the Suns will be picking 13th. It would be a minor miracle. Alex Len is representing the Suns tonight, so maybe this is their good luck charm. I don't know, but that is going on tonight. I watched quite a bit of the Diamondbacks game last night, and there was quite a bit of the game to watch because it went into extra innings. De La Rosa is pretty darn good. That deal is looking good for the Diamondbacks. I was very happy with Ruby. He gave up the one home run, but, you know, this was one of those games last night where the Diamondbacks get three hits from Tomas. So Yasmani getting some regular repetition. Peralta came up in the 12th inning against the Marlins, in the 13th inning against the Marlins. This was last night.
Peralta down the right field line. That's a fair ball, and the Diamondbacks will take the lead. Peralta, that freight train on the bases, pulls it at the station at second base, and it's 3-2 Diamondbacks.
All right, that's, of course, Fox Sports Arizona and Steve Berthume at the call there. They get the victory. Addison Reed actually gets the win, which is fine. He walked a couple when he was out there. Burgos came in, closed out the game. It was a good game all the way around. The story, though, of this game is the national, I don't want to say it's outrage, but the national scratching of heads over what the Marlins decided to do with their manager. Yesterday was the Marlins' first game for new manager Dan Jennings. Dan Jennings was the general manager of the team. They called him, Jeffrey Loria and the ownership group called him on Sunday after they had lost and they had fired Mike Redmond. And they said to him, we want you to manage. And Dan Jennings actually said, when I called my mom and told her about this, she said, are you kidding me? Are you nuts? So this guy has not managed since high school, okay? But he was put down on the bench last night. I'm sure there are a lot of managers and coaches within the Marlins organization that are saying, what? So think of this, guys. If the Diamondbacks did something as strange as this, the amount of outrage that there would be. Dan Jennings, from every account, every interview I've heard, terrific guy. I'm looking forward to having Pedro on tomorrow for a weekly segment on him. Great guy as a general manager. Don't want to see anybody not succeed. But here was Dan Jennings after last night's game. What was his first game as a manager like?
It was surreal to be there, be in the moment. It definitely moves quicker in the dugout than it does in the suite upstairs, no doubt about that. But I really like a lot of things that I saw tonight.
Okay. The game moved quicker than it did when I'm up in the suite.
Duh.
So I'm just like thinking for the Diamondbacks and Chip Hale, he's 3 and 4 moves ahead. And that's just, I don't begrudge Dan Jennings. That's just what the owner decided to do. But the game moves at a great clip and speed, and this guy hasn't been there? I don't know. Win tonight's game, and tonight Hellickson's on the mound. Win tonight's game, and you at least split the series down there. So we'll talk more about that. Everett Golson decided to transfer to Florida State. We're going to get into that as the show moves on, too, because there's a big-time college quarterback that made the move today and what that's all about. But up next, the NBA playoffs tonight, Western Conference Finals. Does Houston have a shot against Golden State? What do you make out of Atlanta and Cleveland? And the lottery tonight, too. Some NBA with Cedric Sabalos. CC is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Cedric Sabalos joins us now for a couple of minutes. It's good to have CC on. Eric and I were talking yesterday about guests that we really like that know what's going on around the NBA and they're just fun that people respond to. And he said, we haven't talked to Cedric in a while. Why don't we track him down? former 1992 slam dunk champ, member of the NBA Alumni Players Association. He joins us for a couple of minutes on the conference finals, what starts tonight, Suns, and much, much more. Cedric, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's always good to hear your voice. What are you up to these days, CC?
Oh, man, just enjoying the weather, watching the kids grow, and trying to, hopefully see some great games, more games in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, loving life, it sounds like. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back before we get into tonight. Could you see the Clippers collapse coming? I can't recall in the last few years seeing a team just let the foot off the gas, and before they knew it, they were eliminated. What'd you make out of that series?
Out of which series?
The Clippers series. Clippers Rockets.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was, you saw it coming because once you got to look at the bench. And that's the hard part about being a head coach and also the GM and being involved with the decision is that you kind of get a little lost track and you have a lot of emotions attached to it. It does give you a lot of power, but it seems like what Doc did was he lost the opportunity to have a great bench. He eliminated some guys. He had Jordan Farmer. He eliminated him from his team. That would have been a great asset, especially when Chris Paul went down, to have an additional point guard who can hit the outside jumper from the three. But you saw the opportunities coming when Jamal Crawford is their only source of, sort of income off of the bench. Very dangerous to speak, but you see that he had it and he needed some help from that. And saying that it was a collapse, I really wouldn't call it a collapse because, you saw the emergence of Blake Griffin on his own without having to receive the basketball to score. Most of the time, Chris Paul would usually, serving them up a nice dish and he finished it with a dunk or something, or so to speak. But you saw in this series where he took the ball in his own hands and took advantage of whoever it was guarding them. It just seemed like they basically just ran out of gas more than a collapse. They just didn't have enough players to give them the proper amount of rest off the bench. They didn't have enough, they went to the wire with San Antonio. San Antonio pushed them. And to go to the wire again in another series, it just seemed like they had a more dangerous weapon. And then the emergence of, we've been waiting for this Dwight Howard to show up, and he showed up big time in this series in a late game.
Talking with Cedric Ceballos with Brad Susmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. So flip it then into what do you expect this series to be tonight? From my view, there's not a rim protector for Golden State. Can James Harden get to the rim repeatedly? And you just brought up Dwight Howard. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think that if you look at an advantage, the inside of Houston and the ability of Harden to drive and finish certainly has to be a concern for Golden State, CC.
It is, truly. And if Dwight Howard shows up like he did the last series against the Clippers, Houston will be in the finals. You have to understand, my old teammate Charles Barkley always said, you live and die by the three. But the way the Splash Brothers have been shooting the basketball is just unbelievable. The accuracy and also the range is just kind of undefendable. Mm-hmm. Trying to, it's just not normal for you to defend somebody that far out. And the way he, Stephen has the ball handling skills, really deserved that opportunity to have the MVP. But when it comes down to it, will they go to hack a Dwight or hack a Howard? And in the interior is going to be, really tested. Bogan is going to have to really play and stay out of foul trouble. David Lee is going to be a real key to this because he's very versatile. He does have a little 15 footer and as well can put it on the ground. But, most importantly is the accuracy and the intensity of Barnes for Golden State is really going to see how really this team really blossoms on that interior with the rebounding because obviously Bogans and Lee going to have their hands full with the guys in there, but Josh Smith, where his outside presence is felt, Barnes is going to have a pretty good matchup on trying to keep that big guy off the glass too. His confidence is really high.
The thing about the hack of Howard, I don't think that works for Golden State because they want to play up tempo. Why would they want to slow the game down, right? I mean, it just wouldn't make sense, or am I just missing the point here?
Well, it not only does it slow them down, but it also slows down Houston, and I think that's the most important thing. And, Steve Kerr is a guy who's been up under Greg Popovich. Popovich was the originator. Him and Don Nelson was the originator of this the so-called Hacker Shaq or Hacker, somebody who can't shoot free throws.
That's true.
And, you know, he's gonna take that genre. He's going to make some phone calls and say, you know, what are the benefits and the doubts about doing this? And I think he'll do it sometime during the course of the game, you know, to try to either slow James Harden down or just slow the tempo down. It does stagnate, if you look at it, it does stagnate Josh Smith a lot when they do this. So, you know, hopefully it might be something positive. But like you said, Golden State really wants to push the ball. They want a running gun. Hopefully Houston will try to retaliate with the same, and we'll see some high-scoring playoff games.
Do you like Hacker Shaq? If you're coaching, would you go that – Hacker Dwight, Hacker Jordan, would you go that route? Do you like it for the game yourself?
If your team has an advantage, I think you should try to take full advantage of it. When I was in college at Cal State Fullerton, we did the same thing to UNLV Rebels to slow them down. We ended up beating them, doing that because, you know, George Ackles and Stacey Augmon, Larry Johnson, those big guys in the paint couldn't shoot free throws. And no way we can stop them because of their height and athletic ability. So slowing them down actually helps. But if you're in a situation, like you said, with Golden State, where your game is up-tempo as well, does that take advantage of it? And does that really help you out in the long run?
Flip it over to Atlanta-Cleveland. I don't sense nationally people know much about Atlanta and what they've done. What do you make out of the Hawks being in this position?
Well, they're exactly where they, you know, the standings and the way they have been throughout the regular season should be. I love the fact that both Eastern and Western have the one and the two seed playing against each other. They don't really know about the ball movement. I think a lot of people know. They may not know the names, the Kyles and the rest of the players on their team, but they will see some great basketball. It'll be a lot of movement. It'll be a lot of team defense. And they're going to need it, too. Even though Kyrie Irving is down and a little limpy with his ankle, they're going to need it, too, because LeBron James is really in full gear right now on trying to not only support himself scoring-wise, but he's trying to get everybody else going, too, as well. And a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers' unsung heroes are coming out because of Love's absence, Bearshaw's absence, and they're playing really well. I do see an opportunity for the Matrix, Sean Marion, to have a big series in this. Because of the size and the way they move the basketball, and they're going to need to spread it out for some long-distance shots. And I think he has a way of doing that.
No, and Trix, that's a good point because he's not played, so he's fresh. And when you go through this grind, you've got to have players that are able to give you something.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah, and time and time again, it has happened with teams that have made championship runs, somebody that comes off the bench. I remember years ago with D-Wade and Shaquille O'Neal in Miami, you know, Gary Payton. Old head comes off the bench, hits big shots in the finals, gets them going. Also, Dallas made their run too. They had unsung heroes. It's going to be a great opportunity for him, and I know he's ready. And it could be a great stage for him, being his last year in his career. He's going to retire after this year to come out and help his team try to win a championship.
Talking with Cedric Sabalas. Before we let you go, what do you make out of the Suns? The lottery is tonight. It's 5 years since they made the postseason. What's your view as a former Suns player of where the organization is right now?
I thought it was a great move a couple years ago. I would have preferred, the fan choice of having Dan Majerle be the head coach, but them bringing in Jeff Hornacek with his structure, with his knowledge, did tremendously for the players' attitude on not getting the silliness and then the carelessness with the basketball. He really put a lot of structure into where their defense is. That did pick up. But they need a superstar, and I think any team that's in the league, they need them. Unless you're going to play as intense and together as the Atlanta Hawks are playing, you're going to need a superstar to weigh the official. You're going to need a superstar to be a threat, to demand double team, to have a presence on that floor of intimidation. For years playing with the Suns, we had pretty good roster with Johnson and Tom Chambers, the whole crew. But once we got Charles Barkley, a legitimate superstar, that's what transformed our team, not only in the league's eyes, but as well as the team's eyes. The teams that we were playing against, you know, had a bigger threat. They knew they had to take care of this superstar in Barkley. And that's what they need. I mean, the Morris brothers are playing well. You know, Butso has a great opportunity to have a big future here. But what they need is a superstar. Now, whether that superstar is homegrown, that they, you know, build him up, or they bring in a free agent, or maybe even in the draft. And I don't think there's a true unbelievable superstar now that, you know, even 1 or 2, 3 years maybe down the line, but that to have the impact like Anthony Davis has had, to have an impact like LeBron James had, to be Wade, that, no, I don't see that in this draft, but I do see an opportunity for maybe if we do get a good number in this draft and the lottery, we bring in a free agent that will recruit, and that's when the process starts. But that superstar is so important when it comes to a basketball team, to have somebody to demand double teams, that to be a threat, that to get easy buckets for players who have a hard time getting buckets themselves.
Always good to hear your voice. You nailed it once again. I appreciate your time and insight as always, CC. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Cedric Ceballos. Good to catch up with CC for a few minutes there. Interesting, you know, on the Suns, getting that superstar to come here, to attract that superstar to come here. We had the story yesterday about how DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul reportedly have had a falling out and that he's going to test the free agent market. Player like that becomes available, you start looking that direction. And this is not the deepest class. Deep class is next year with Durant and others. But there's a couple of players this year. LaMarcus Aldridge, if Jordan comes out, if Kevin Love opts out. I mean, there's a few names, and they're all bigs. That's an area the Suns could use help at. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. In about 15 minutes, we'll go to Florida. Jody Jackson from the sidelines at the Diamondback games. In the stands, the features, everything she does for Fox Sports Arizona. She'll join us from down in Florida. Michael Della Russo talking United SC. Tomorrow night, they have a home match in the U.S. Open Cup. We'll talk with Coach Dello in hour number two. On the other side, we're going to go back to Bob Kraft, held a press conference about 40 minutes ago, and talked about how he is going to reluctantly not appeal. What does this mean with Tom Brady? That's next. So the big national story today happened about 40 minutes ago, and that was Bob Kraft's unprecedented move, calling a meeting with the media in San Francisco at 10 a.m. to talk about his thoughts on Deflategate and everything moving forward. And he said, I want to get the quote right here. He said, quote, "I don't want to continue the rhetoric. I accept reluctantly the punishment. We will not appeal." This has been an emotionally charged couple of weeks. I don't see it changing, and we will never agree. The entire process, it's taken too long. I can try to extend it or end it. So the thought that this quote he had, "at no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective good of the full 32. What does that mean? It means that 32 guys sat in a room, or 32 guys contacted Bob Kraft, or 32 representatives got to him and said, knock it off. Did Bob Kraft have a strategy about today? Is this more about, look, I'm not going to win this war. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run back home. I'll regroup. I'll find my spot. Maybe Tom Brady only gets a 2-game suspension because of this. Think of it from the commissioner's perspective. If the owner comes out today and goes on a rampage and says, I am not backing down, the other 32 are going to say, good luck on that one. The other 31 are going to say, good luck on that one. And the commissioner is going to look at him and say, you're not thinking of the betterment of the league, whether you think you're right or not. We're going to stick with this. So he would not have won because the commissioner is hearing this appeal. And the commissioner, I think, is in a no-win on that one. If the commissioner says, I'm not changing this, then he's rigid. If he gives in, then I think there's going to be a view of, well, he felt the pressure and Bob Kraft got over on it. Now that Bob Kraft has taken this stance, if Goodell comes back and says, we're reducing it down to 2 games or 1 game, I don't think Goodell is viewed as somebody who doesn't have power and authority. I don't. I think what Kraft did today, I don't buy for a minute that it's him just saying, yeah, you're right, I'm going to go take my punishment.
Well, and Kraft made it pretty clear, Brad, if you listen back to the press conference. I mean, he made some pointed comments, like when he said, I feel the punishment is way over the top.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't like he just, you know, was going to take the towel and throw it and say, you know what, this is it, we're done. I mean, he still made his point without necessarily having to make his point.
He didn't throw gasoline on the fire.
Correct.
So But don't you agree with me that this is a strategy?
Of course.
I'm thinking through this, that his people had to say, look, you've got to be the one that goes out there and falls on the sword or puts your sword down, whatever term you want to use. And if Goodell does not lessen the penalty on Brady, what message does that send to the other 31 owners as well?
Yeah, Robert Kraft didn't become a billionaire by cutting bad deals.
No. No,
I mean,
so
you can definitely see the Brady suspension being reduced by a game or two.
So, you know, do you look at it and say it takes a lot for someone to put down their sword and put down their anger and do it in the betterment of the league? Yeah, I can look at that. Do I look at it as the strategy is they better reduce Brady's suspension or the penalties against the organization? I have to look at that too. Yeah, I'm somewhat cynical about all this, but I think it was the right move because this has gone on entirely too long. Yeah, you know what? In our business, it's kind of like this. When people say, boy, these cable networks and news, CNN and MSNBC and Fox, they're really not doing well. And all of a sudden, there's a tragedy, a plane crash or something along those lines, and all of a sudden, ratings are the greatest ever. Yeah, because it's something that's newsy that is more than just fluff. In this case, yeah, guys like me are sitting behind microphones in May talking about this stuff over and over for whole shows, for hours, hours. Because, yeah, there's an interest in it. Me, yeah, we talk about it, not for hours and hours, within moderation, less is more.
Everyone was talking about the big mystery, Brad, between, oh, what's on Tom Brady's cell phone? I'd really like to take a look at Roger Goodell and Bob Kraft's cell phones right now. I'd love to see what's happening behind the scenes and how, you know, all these backroom deals,
sure,
they're going down,
sure,
somewhere.
Sure they are.
Between, you know, I'm sure the NFL public relations department is behind all this. And
they do research.
Yeah,
they
of
do,
course.
They do polling. They get all excited about what this group says and that group says. Sure they do.
But it's great for the NFL. You know why? Just like you said, we're almost in June and we're still talking about
this. Still talking about this. The segment of the show is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Guys, when was the last time that you looked at your vehicle and said, man, oh man, I am done with this. I want to get over to Santan Ford. I've heard Brad say for years now that Santan Ford is the place to be. You've got your summer vacation coming up. And are you in a vehicle that you like? Are you in a vehicle that you're comfortable with? Are you in a vehicle that makes the most sense for your family? How about for your budget? Maybe you've got a vehicle that has 100-some-odd thousand miles on it, and you know that it's coming to an end. And you can try and stick a Band-Aid on it, or you can take all that money that you're going to throw into it and trade in what you have and get into something like I did, something certified pre-owned that makes sense for you, like it did for us. Well, your summer vacation, for us, we have an Explorer now that we're going to take out. It was certified pre-owned. I didn't have to get something brand spanking new, although it would have been nice for our budget. We said, let's do this. And we're making our summer plans for places to go to. That's for us. How about you? Stop on in. General Manager Tim Hovick and Company, they'll help you out. They'll do it upright. Tim, of course, is involved very much in a lot of the sporting areas here in the Valley and in the state with the great Ford brand. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Jody Jackson in about 6 minutes down in Florida. Today is also a big day on the college football front. Right before the show started, Florida State quarterback situation became much more clear when Everett Golson, who we last saw here at Sun Devil Stadium running for his life, announced that he was leaving Notre Dame, the graduate transfer, and he's going to play at Florida State. So quarterbacks move around. There still is Braxton Miller at Ohio State. There still is a quarterback opening at LSU. And we're sitting here, and it is May. You have a coach at LSU that I think is going to get fired if he doesn't have a good year in Les Miles. That's not just me saying it. That's the national view. You take a quarterback like Golson and put him at Florida State, and it really adds to the race this year. Think of it this way. The two teams that played in the college football championship were Florida State and Oregon. Florida State now has a fifth-year transfer. What does Oregon have at quarterback? They have a fifth-year transfer.
From the Big Sky.
Yeah,
no way.
I know.
Really? A Big Sky quarterback's going to be starting in the Pac-12? Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Vernon Adams.
He's pretty good.
So, ask Washington how good he is.
So Vernon Adams is going to be the guy at Oregon, and Everett Golson is going to be the guy at Florida State. Now, what is this trend doing? We've already seen it in college basketball. We haven't seen it as much in college football, though, Eric, have we? I don't...
No, but it is becoming a trend.
It's coming. When you have the two top teams, rather than we're going to take the top freshman and we're going to put him there in place of, no, we're not going to take a year where we go from playing for the national title and maybe we win 8-9 games and get a new quarterback in place for the next couple. No, we're going to go get a fifth-year graduate transfer. And this has been one of those topics that is that has really ignited debate in college football circles. Is it fair to go that route? Well, I don't know. If the kid's gone to college for 4 years and he has his degree and he has an opportunity to increase his resume for his job that he's pursuing, even if it's a quarterback, what is the problem here? I don't see any problem with this. But for the two schools at the top of the heap to do this, that's pretty interesting to me. I mean, Golson's a dual threat guy that comes to Florida State, so they're going to be very interesting to watch this year. We'd heard about Everett Golson potentially going to Texas because Texas is looking for a quarterback. Then we heard that Notre Dame said you're not going to be allowed to transfer to any school that is on our schedule early in the season. So now he's going that way. Jimbo Fisher decides to go get a quarterback who's done with his college career at one place. And I think the uncertainty whether Golson would be granted a waiver to play for an SEC school, I'd heard that that was one of the issues here. So he goes to an ACC school, and he's going to a national program. Think of it. You go from Notre Dame to Florida State to try to increase your draft stock after he was kicked off the team. What was it, 2 years ago? You're out of here. You're gone. Really interesting story. And not that Florida State produces the best of the best, but you do look at Christian Ponder and E.J. Manuel and Jameis Winston, and you say, okay, Florida State produces NFL quarterbacks. So why is this bad for a young man who has his degree in hand from Notre Dame be allowed to go to a college that's going to try to help him get into the next level? Just me thinking out loud. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on the other side. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona talented reporter. She is in Miami with the Diamondbacks. Good win last night. I'm curious from her view, what is she hearing about Dan Jennings, the GM of the Marlins, move down as the manager? That's been the biggest national story in baseball the last 24, 48 hours. Jody will join us next. All right, Jody Jackson joined us now, Fox Sports Arizona Diamondback reporter. She is actually in her hometown of Miami. How far did you live from the stadium that you are broadcasting from tonight?
I lived about maybe 25 miles northeast of the stadium. So,
did you grow up a baseball fan?
I did. I was a Braves fan. We had CBS.
Sure.
We didn't have a team then. I think they came my second year in college, so 1993. The Marlins came. They were the Florida Marlins, of course. But I was a Braves fan. Right? In fact, I was talking to Brett Butler about that. He's the coach, as you know. Of course, he was with the D-backs organization, but he's with the Marlins. And
yeah,
he was one of my favorite players. Dale Murphy, you know, Bob Horner, that group was kind of, I think I was, you know, gosh, I don't know what year that was, maybe like 83, 84, I was 10 or 11. I used to watch, you know, my parents would watch every night. So I watched as well.
Was it
summer in South Florida?
Was it Steve Bedrosian? Was the closer Bedrock? I think if I remember
correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. I can't think of the pitchers during those.
I don't know if they were any good. You mentioned
Brett. That wasn't great, but it was fun to watch nevertheless.
Jody Jackson with us, Fox Sports Arizona. They'll have tonight's broadcast, Diamondbacks and Marlins. You mentioned Brett Butler. Why is he not the manager? Why is it Dan Jennings? I have to just wonder. Do you have an answer?
Well, I don't have, you know, Brad, there's no really good answer. There's been a lot written since Mike Redmond was fired on Sunday afternoon, evening. To me, it all just comes back to Jeffrey Loria. He's kind of, you know, it's hard to understand his decisions. I know, you know, Michael Hill is a good baseball man. David Sampson is president. I'm not really sure why they came to this conclusion. I'm not really sure why they became so incredibly impatient with Mike Redmond.
That's good.
I don't even know why it happened to begin with. But you know, you're right. Brett Butler and Chip Hale talked about this. He said, you know, that yesterday he and Tony La Russa were talking, and, you know, it's a he wasn't directly talking about Dan Jennings, and, you know, but he said for a guy like Redmond that went came up, you know, and granted, he came up pretty quickly. He was a player not that long ago, but like Chip, you know, so many years in minors, so many qualified candidates that are like him, and, you know, for some, you know, a lot of guys, you know, even if it's a guy that has experience playing, you know, the Mike Matheny's and the, you know, some of these guys just get hired right away, and there are a lot of guys like Brett Butler and Chip Hale. Chip has his chance now, but they aren't given the chances that maybe they deserve. So I don't have a great answer, except for that it's really hard to predict why Jeffrey Loria does some of these things that he does.
It has to be surreal, though, down there, because, I mean, nationally, Jody, this is the top story that people are talking about, is how they would pass over all these people to hire somebody to be a manager that even his mom said to him, "Are you nuts? Are you kidding me?" And I'm not making that up. His mom told him that. So
I know. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
I encountered him yesterday for the first time. I know he's been in baseball a really long time, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of decisions that he's going to have to make. And as much as his bench coach is going to help him, I mean, it's, you know, it's not an easy job. I mean, there's a lot that goes on. And even last night, you saw some things that were questionable. I mean, I would question your use of Sischek. I would question, you know, Ichiro trying to steal second base. I mean, there's a lot that goes in, you know, and it's funny here reading the papers today, nobody's bringing up any of those things. They're still sort of just talking about the hire. But if your other teams and you're watching, they're going to be watching every move. And, you know, and guys within the organization will know pretty quickly if he's doing a good job or not. So.
Sure. No, it is really interesting. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona Diamondbacks reporter, with us for a couple of minutes. Addison Reed gets a win. Let's just start with him. They made the announcement Friday in Philly that he was not the closer per se now. I actually like this move. I think take some of the pressure off him. We saw Burgos come in last night, do a nice job. Where do you see Addison Reed right now?
Well, he is working on mechanics. I talked about during the broadcast last night, a pretty drastic change for him. And, you know, and I asked him, did you ever tinker with as many things as you have over the last 2 years of the D-backs when you were with the White Sox? He said, no, not really. He just didn't have as many issues as he's been having the last 2 years. So he just never really changed his mechanics. But last year he toyed with stuff, positioning on the on the rubber, throwing across his body. That issue's always coming up. But the biggest thing last night that we spotlighted was he's not lifting that front leg. You know, a lot of guys at least lift it, you know, maybe even a foot, or he's just barely lifting that left foot now, and he said it's like learning an entirely new language. So I guess considering that, he's had two outings, one inning last night, two innings the other day, so three innings scoreless so far, which doesn't sound, you know, like a huge feat, but it was. I mean, especially because last night he walked two guys,
right.
And then in the previous outing, I think at least one ball was hit hard. But where is he at? That's kind of where he's at. You know, hopefully, Brad, he can get it going here. And again, the big problem has been home runs. And, you know, last night it was command. So I think he's on the right track. I mean, they're building up his confidence. Every time he goes out there and doesn't give up a run, you know, it's a win. It's a victory. So, you know, as far as when he'll regain the job, I think it's hard to say right now because, you know, he's still sort of working through this stuff. I think the closer, though, is not necessarily Enrique Burgos, that's for sure. He's just up here for the first time, so I'm not sure that's something that he's going to take on every night. But I think they still would use Brad Ziegler there. I think they still would use, you know, maybe Daniel Hudson there. And eventually Evan Marshall may come back up. But again, he's had his issues. But he will probably be back up at some point.
Yeah, I'm fine with what they're doing with Reed. I'm not one of those that the overreaction on some of this stuff you know, Addison Reed, to just throw him to the curb, that's not the case. I like the fact that Tony La Russa talked over the weekend about where things are with a young team, and I was very happy to see that. Tomas had three hits last night, and I think I'm starting to see a rhythm out of him. You can see that his confidence is growing just on television. What do you see out of him? You're at the ballpark a lot more than I am. What do you see out of Tomas to this point?
No, I mean, everything you just said is exactly right on about Tomas. He's really having fun. He's a fun, the first day of spring training, everyone said, you know, look, he's actually a really fun guy. We just, you know, they just got to know him, but he's a great teammate, always like joking around, but he had a lot of pressure. He played, you know, he was playing third base in spring, but then he was playing outfield too. And, you know, through his interpreter, Ariel Prieto, this was actually, this might have been last night. Yeah, I've talked to Ariel a few times in the last week, but he said something that was very simple, but I thought very telling, and said he's the first to the third baseman now. He's doing that job. He's owning it. He feels comfortable. And you could see that at the plate. You could see it as far as playing defense. I mean, there were people that said he can't play third base.
No, that's what we heard. We heard he couldn't play that position.
Well, I mean, you heard different things. I mean, you heard some people saying, you know, he can play there, but, you heard some people saying he's better than people think. That's obviously what the Diamondbacks thought. You heard some national people saying that. And then you heard some people, though, saying he flat out can't play third base.
Yep.
And that's not true. I mean, he could go out tonight and make an error. It doesn't mean he's not going to ever make an error, but he's showing that he can play that position. And, you know, he's just getting better and better, and we're going to talk about him tonight on the broadcast quite a bit, both in the pregame and in the game. And the guys just love him. It's really fun to see. They've embraced him, and they're happy for him that he's just going out and having fun now. And he's pulling the ball with, you know, able to really, I think it was written well today, Nick Vaccaro, I think he's doing some damage. You know, he's got, as Mark Grace likes to say, bad intentions, you know. He's going to hit the ball with bad intentions. And I think before he was a little timid. So it's going to be exciting because it's still fairly early. It's, you know, May 18th. So, or is it May 19th? It's May 19th,
it's May 19th.
Brad. I don't know what day it is.
So, what happens when you go to your hometown. I get it. It's fine.
Yes, I don't know what day
it's
it
fine.
Is. But he's going to, he's going to get even better, I think. So it'll be fun to watch.
Before I let you go, I have about a minute here. And this may be longer than a minute, but can you condense within a minute's time, for the fans, you're around Chip Hale. You see how the team is playing for Chip Hale. I don't look at the W's and the L's because this is not a complete body of work. I think there's going to be a change that comes with any organization as new faces involved. But what do you make out of him managing 6 weeks into this season?
I think he's done a great job. I think that, you know, first of all, he laid a good foundation. That's always important. I think the players really respect him, what he, you know, knows about the game and all the work that he puts in. I think that, you know, obviously the pen, I think he wishes he had a better, you know, handle on. That's the part of managing that is just a fine line. You know, you have to push those right buttons out there to do with the help of your pitching coach, of course. But that's kind of a work in progress that maybe they didn't foresee, because coming into the season, that was going to be a strength. But Evan Marshall, Addison Reed, they've had their struggles. And, you know, I think in general, the lineup, he's there trying to shake things up. He's trying to be aggressive. I think everybody likes, that's the one thing you always hear with Chip, is he is aggressive. And I think that, you know, that's something that, that's the reason why Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, if there's criticism out there, I you know, you try to figure out why the offense is sometimes putting up.
Yeah, but you know what? That stuff. It's 6 weeks into this. I remember last time I had you on, I said 84 wins, and you were kind of like, huh? Okay, I'm not saying they're going to get there, but they're certainly not circling the porcelain fixture like a lot of people said. And I like where they're going. I like where he's going. I got to let you go off that. I hate getting in the last word, but I have to do it. So. Goodbye.
No, and I think I was right there with 81, so, you know, I thought maybe right around 81, 82, so we'll see.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brad, thanks.
Talented Jody Jackson on the road. Again tonight, Fox Sports, Arizona, Diamondbacks with Hellickson on the mound tonight against the Marlins. Michael Dello Russo is on the other side, AZ United SC. They are home with a match tomorrow night. Nice win over the weekend. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Busy Tuesday. We'll get back to the sports news of the day, but as promised, we do this every Tuesday. We walk United, talk United, Arizona United SC in action tomorrow night. We'll get to that U.S. Open Cup second round tomorrow night against Chula Vista. Michael Dello Russo joins us every week. Coach Dello, as we go through the United season, last Saturday night, they were down 2 to Austin. It was not looking good, and on a beautiful night, there were 3 beautiful goals that were scored. and a well-played match. The coach had to be very pleased. He joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you, Michael?
Good, Brad. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Let's go back on Saturday night. Just a general overview of what transpired.
You know, obviously we weren't happy with how we started the game, which has been a work in progress for us. But, you know, challenged the guys and they responded. And, you know, they played with heart. They played for each other and ended up getting the 3 points, which was, you know, very good for them. And we're in a good place and happy about moving forward after it.
It was interesting talking to you down on the field before it started, and you didn't have Valentino because of health. And you had some other questions before the match started about health, and it was kind of like this would be a gut check game for you. Is that the way you were looking at it?
I think just collectively, as a group as a whole, not based on injuries, nothing along those lines. I don't think more based on where we were from a mental standpoint as a collective group. And you know, I think we took big strides the other night as far as moving forward in that way. And very proud of the guys. And, you know, they came out in the second half and played with confidence. Let's try to instill that in them. And, you know, they did a great job. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with injuries throughout the year. It's a long season. It's a grueling season. It's soccer. You never know. And that's why we have everybody, you know, on board and, you know, dedicated and moving forward and wanting to play and fighting to play every single day. So as a coach, it makes you pretty happy.
We have the goals, the video of the goals, so let's go through them with Stisser, the first one, the PK that comes up, and let's talk about that one.
Obviously, the play leading up to it was nice, and Shinsky did a great job of, you know, committing the defense and getting a PK for us, and Brad stepped up as a veteran should and put in the back of the net and, you know, very confidently put it away.
And he had a nice little celebration afterwards. I like that. Just kind of turns the other way. Like the guns go into the holster and walked off. I like that. How's he played for you?
He's done well. You know, he's getting better, even though he's been around the league for a while. You know, he's a guy that puts in the work every single day. And, you know, I think he's got to get a little cleaner in the attacking third, and he knows that. But, you know, I've been very happy with Brad, and he's a pleasure to coach.
Long Tan gets USL Player of the Week. Big news there. Let's talk about his first of two goals on the night.
Yeah, I think collectively it was a good goal. You know, we defended well. John Topp did a great job of getting behind the ball. Milton read the play great. Milton had a great game for us. He read the play really well. Their timing of once he stripped the ball, you know, Long held his run well. Milton played a great ball, and, you know, he did what forwards are supposed to do, and he finished on a one-on-one chance.
Yeah, Milton, I was going to get to him. Blanco's been a breath of fresh air, it seems like. A young legs coming in, an opportunity.
I don't know how young his legs are, but...
fresh legs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, Milton's been good. He's been very good. He went through a little lull there. But he, you know, like a true veteran and guy that's been around it, he's been mentally engaged the whole time. He's been very good for us, so... just his composure and then his spurts of energy have helped us quite a bit. And we look forward to just, you know, seeing what he can do for us the whole year. So we've been pleased.
And then let's get over to Long's second goal, the decisive one.
You know, as soon as it was called, he sat on the mark and he wanted it. And that's what you want out of your forward and the guy that we lean on quite a bit. And he took complete control of that and finished it like he should. So, you know, he was challenged earlier on this week, and he needs to start producing for us, and he did that. We needed to get him a little higher up the field, which he did very well. And, you know, moving forward, we're just looking forward to, you know, getting back out like we always are and seeing our next challenge.
So U.S. Open Cup is tomorrow night, and it's Chula Vista that's coming here. What do you know about them? The match is at home, 7:30. Fans want to buy their tickets and head on out for tomorrow night. What do you know about Chula Vista? What can the fans expect?
Yeah, they're a team that plays with a lot of heart. They play for each other. They were in the game the whole time against Tucson. You know, and it's a tricky one. So I went down, saw them play. They play really well together. They know each other really well. So it's going to be an interesting challenge that, you know, we haven't had yet this year. But, you know, our big concentration has been on us and, mm-hmm. and our guys moving forward and playing the way we want to play and getting some guys, you know, maybe a chance that haven't had it. But at the same time, you know, this is a big cup. We set out a goal at the beginning of this year to win U.S. Open Cup. And it's just what any team does in a competition. If you enter a competition, you do it because you want to win the whole thing. So this is a big step for us, and we understand it's a must win, obviously, because it's win or go home.
I'm getting a lot of questions today and even yesterday towards this segment about that. How do you approach this versus you have Colorado Springs the following week? Do you coach any differently? You mentioned some players that maybe get an opportunity. How do you go about the Open Cup play?
It's finding a balance. It's why we want, you know, guys engaged the whole time and ready to go. And I told these guys at the beginning of the year that, you know, everybody's number will get called at some point. And it's what you do with that opportunity. And, you know, it'll be a good challenge for some guys. But at the same time, you know, our team collectively shouldn't skip a beat. Everybody knows how we like to play and what we want to do. And, you know, how we find success. So it'll be a fun one tomorrow for sure.
Is Valentino going to play?
Right now, probably not. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see. It's a tough injury that we want to make sure he's 100% before we push him in.
Understand. Appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks.
All right. Take care, bud.
Good talking to you. Michael Della Russo. He joins us every week. Michael Della Russo and Arizona United SC tomorrow night at Scottsdale Stadium. It's going to be a beautiful night for weather. Great opportunity for you fans. It's cool to see the fans shoot in their questions and comments for that segment every week. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic.